Blog Talk Radio.
You're tuned into We Talk Radio Network.
I'd like to talk to you this evening. I'd like to talk to you about getting on when things are not going quite so well. Like this morning, I woke up. I was real depressed. But something told me, you gotta keep on keeping on.
Oh, just gonna have church. I know the Lord. I Welcome to Mind, Body, and Soul with Big Joe. I am your host, Big Joe, right here on We Talk Radio. B-Ray, are you with me, B-Ray?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
I'm loving
it. B-Ray, I am trying to get some things adjusted over here. Can we get one more song, and then we're going right into the conversation? We have Pastor Howard Rose Jr. and Pastor Patience with us as well. Let's get one more song in, and then I should be ready to go, if you don't mind.
All right. Gotcha.
Thank you. Right here on Mind, Body, and Soul with Big Joe. I am your host, Big Joe.
Direction.
Cause this is my season.
weed in the ground. Come on, open your mouth, say, I've got a seed in the ground. And I don't care what your circumstance says, it's already getting better.
Welcome to Mind, Body, and Soul with Big Joe. I am the host, Big Joe. D-Ray, you still with us?
Yes, sir, as always.
How you doing today, D-Ray?
I'm doing wonderful.
That is wonderful. That is wonderful. D-Ray, we are we're going to have a part two of what we've been discussing last week. We have Pastor Howard Rose Jr. Pastor, are you there?
Yes, sir, we are.
And his wife, Pastor Patience Rose. How you doing, Pastor?
All is well. I am blessed and excited to be here tonight.
That is wonderful, and I thank you for coming on and giving us just a little bit of your time. Last week, we got into a discussion about what does it mean to be yoked. Kia D, did I just see Kia?
Hey, Kia D is in the building. Hey, what's going on? Happy Tuesday, family. How y'all doing?
We are doing
fine. How are you doing today?
I am super duper fabulous. God has been good to me. Staying safe. Amen.
Now, we got into a discussion last week. A discussion about what does it mean to be unequally yoked? Paul, in the book of Corinthians, the second book of Corinthians, the 6th chapter, 14th verse, he says, team up with unbelievers. Don't be unequally yoked. And last week we were talking about what it means to be yoked. We want to get another, if you would. Let's look at this completely. Pastor, you still there?
Yes, sir, I am.
What does it mean? What is a yoke? Can you explain to me what a yoke is?
My wife is making motions. I'm almost inclined to let her go ahead and answer since she seems to be more prepared with an answer than I.
Not so. That more prepared. Probably more, I would say. Probably more excited about that word because a lot of times when we use the word yoke, we are using it from a connotation, you know, and an understanding that is steeped in, you know, being in the church and hearing it used in the church. And outside of that context, people just don't usually, you know, talk about yokes per se. But a yoke itself is really just a piece of wood that was designed and fashioned in such a way that it was to go on the necks of two animals. And it had a piece of iron or some other piece of metal that would actually be put around the neck to hold the animal to the crossbar. And each animal being on one end of the crossbar, having that piece of metal around their neck would bind them together, you know, which would, you know, cause some interesting situations, because if one was shorter than the other, then it meant that one were dragging the other. And if one were, you know, for whatever reason, a little more hefty than the other animal, then it would cause an imposition on one who maybe wanted to move forward and would have to pull the heavier weight. So when we look at it from the standpoint of, you know, getting an analogy, you know, and you see this wooden crossbar and you start thinking about marriage or friendships or other types of relationships, and you having this spiritual crossbar that connects you with someone, and the piece of iron that ties you to the crossbar that makes it so that you can only move a certain distance, you know, without having to, you know, pull the other one if the other one is not willing to go. It does give a little bit of a different context for being yoked together. Now I'm gonna pass that over to my husband.
Well, I like to look at things from getting a natural dictionary definition, so that we can have a little bit of a better understanding. The Bible says, "With all our getting, for us to get understanding," and I think that's really important when we are endeavoring to break down a biblical passage, if you will, and just looking at the natural dictionary definition of the word yoke. My wife had one piece. The piece that I'm looking at says a device for joining together a pair of draft animals, especially oxen, so on and so forth. And we know that the Bible is filled mostly in the New Testament with a lot of metaphors. And when you look at that definition plus the definition of the word unequal, which means not equal, not of the same quantity, the same quality, the same value, the same ranking, the same ability.
Mm-hmm.
So when you talk about being unequally yoked, let's start right there. You're talking about what is it that is joining you to another person in unequal quantity, quality, value, ranking, ability, etc. So you need to know that when you are yoking yourself with somebody, that you are joining yourself with somebody that is an equal to you in many different rights. Now, this does not mean that you're going to be the exact same person. God created all of us differently, so much so that our DNA and our fingerprints alone speak to the difference in each one of us. Even twins have a different fingerprint and DNA that distinguishes one from another. But when you talk about joining yourself to someone, what are the qualities? What is the ranking? What is the ability that we have that is commonplace, common ground for us to come together and agree that these are the things that we have in common, and God has joined us together, push forward with our qualities, with our abilities, with our ranking, to do something greater than what we could have done individually on our own.
Okay. With that being said, we had a discussion last week, and a part of that discussion was what about a situation where you have one partner who is trying to live holy and another partner who is saved but is not trying to live holy? Are they unequally yoked?
I believe in instances like that, first of all, this is where...
Before we go there.
Okay.
Because I have to ask this question first. Is there a way that you can start out equally yoked and then end up being unequal.
Man, that's a very, very good question. My wife said it before I did. I think it's a very good question. I do believe that it is possible. And the biblical reference that immediately comes to mind is Paul and Barnabas, because at some point we have history that is telling us in a particular passage of scripture, and forgive me for not knowing chapter and verse in terms of where it's located. I believe it's in the book of Acts, but I have come across it before and seen it, where the Bible states that the two of them got to a point where they could not agree to continue moving forward together. They fell into disagreement about something. Okay, my wife found it. She said it's Acts 4 and 36.
And Acts 14 and 14.
And Acts 14 and 14, which speaks about this particular accounting. But at some point, obviously, they started off equally yoked, and then...
But okay. I'm sorry, don't mean to cut you off, but is that more of a we're not on the same page, or is that unequally yoked? Is there a difference between you're being on this page in your life and I'm just not there? That doesn't mean we're unequally yoked, because the yoke is the center. The one
but
thing
again,
that's
you
tying
have to look
us
at,
together. Now if Jesus
you have to look
is tying
at the,
us
the,
together
the definite- I'm sorry. You have to go back to what we laid out earlier in terms of what the definition of the word yoke means. It's something that joins us together. And if we're joined together, that means that we are together as a team and we're moving forward in the same direction. And for Paul and Barnabas to get to the place where they came into disagreement, the yoke had to have been broken at some point.
And that relationship, though, it's a little bit different, because you have one was a mentor and the other was a mentee. And when they started off moving in a certain direction, that direction was heavily, when you look at mentorship and people who are operating under the guise of someone who is, you know, teaching or training, it's a little different than you have a relationship that binds you together as friends or as family or husband and wife, you know. And so, yeah, they started off in a yoking relationship because of the mentorship. And at some point, one was not willing to follow the other, you know, which is a different or come to agreement to move forward with the other, and which hence breached the relationship. Differently than, you know, what might happen in a marriage, although, you know, we do have a clear indication that, you know, on the husband's role and the wife's role in the marriage, but you still might have the yoking together in relationship and one who is making a difference and deciding, you know, to believe differently, you know, after, or, you know, even stating initially that this is what they're doing, and they may be demonstrating that they, you know, are an equal yoked partner, if I can say it that way, at the beginning. But the test of time and circumstances and conditions might show them to be someone different. So, you know, if I could pose something to your question, you know, do you have someone that starts off together appearing to be yoked together as a believer that turns up to be someone different with, you know, and circumstances present themselves or obstacles show up?
And then many times, if I could add to that, many times, and speaking more specifically to marriages, because when we read this scripture or this biblical passage, oftentimes we relegate it to that of married couples. And when you look at it under that guise, you know, a lot of times we have done things without knowing the full depth of meaning of what it is we're getting ourselves into. A lot of people are not taught or go through any kind of marriage counseling or whatever the case may be before or prior to them getting married. that just make the decision, hey, you know, I love you, you love me, you know, I think we well together, we're going to go on and do this. You know, without truly consulting the Father and counting the cost and you know, getting an understanding of what the gravity of this decision is. And this doesn't go just for married couples. I think it goes for anyone who's looking to enter into any kind of relationship with a person and in being led by the Spirit of God. I think it does behoove one to know what it means to be equally or unequally yoked with someone. But even if they don't and they learn that later along the way, I think either way, it's important to understand that at some point, whether prior to the relationship or even while you're in it.
So if you like, so you start equally yoked, life happens and things change and you become unequally yoked. Is there a way to bring that yoke back together so that you're on the same page again?
Yeah, go ahead, because my wife is almost chomping at the bit on this one.
Okay, so, you know, and that's a wonderful question.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful question, because it really does depend on where your heart is. And let me just say that to be, you know, totally transparent. You know, I have experienced a lot of tragedy in life. And in marriage, you know, there are things that happen where people, you know, are just struggling. They are just absolutely struggling. And as a spouse, you know, when you have someone that may be struggling and but they're still willing to, you know, do the work, you know, it is very possible that you, the one spouse, you know, depending on who they are and how they operate in kingdom, you know, and being led by Holy Spirit can be in there and just, I mean, so into their spouse in such a way that that person moves from where they are and they grow up you know, kingdom and become, you know, who they were intended to be. And I want to say that with full transparency, that when my husband and I became married, you know, there were some areas, because I had been living kingdom a long time. I had been pastoring for a while, you know, and had, you know, lived a lifestyle of kingdom, you know, living that, you know, was really different than a lot of people had experienced, you know. So there were some things that, you know, in terms of people would say, you know, well, are you guys equally yoked? Because he may not have had the same experiences as me, but I believe that he had the same desire to be all that God created him to be, even though he might not have had the same level of experience or had not been, you know, saved as long or whatever the situation, been in ministry as long. Some of those things, you know, are, they just come with natural, and when I say natural, I'm talking about spiritually natural, you know, abilities. Because when you've been living a certain way, a certain length of time, and you've seen God do some things, then you have faith to believe, you know, that he can do even more. And your spouse may not be quite there yet. But I watched how, you know, the willingness of his heart, you know, put him far beyond. Within a short period of time, and I'm telling you that the kingdom lifestyle, you know, was, I mean, it was very easy for me to say that we were literally operating in the same space, you know, at that level in a very short period, you know. So, yes, I do believe that, you know, but I also believe that the same could be the case where you're working with someone who just is not willing. You know, they don't care to, and they're just not willing, and that could be a very challenging situation, you know, for someone.
Okay. What about socioeconomic status?
Hold on. I'm sorry, be right. But is that considered unequally yoked? Because one is not willing. The question. This brings me back to the question. The question was from a caller who listens frequently, and their question was, if one is wanting to live holy and the other one is not, although saved, are they unequally yoked?
Well, I let me take a stab at this one, if you will, proverbially speaking. This brings back part of a conversation that we recently had where we were making reference to the biblical passage that Paul made reference to married couples and one individual being saved and the other one not, and whether or not the one that was not saved wanted to stay. And now I believe that this was his command and not necessarily that coming straight from the heart of the Father. But on the other hand, I do believe that the Father does share the same sentiments in that if the individual wants to stay, let them stay. If they want to go, let them go, because what you're talking about is the person's free will. But to answer your question, when you talk about being unequally yoked, again, let's look at the first word, unequal, and there are some other definitions that I believe are applicable in this particular instance. For example, not adequate as in amount of power, ability, et cetera. But this is the one that stood out to me, not evenly proportioned or balanced, not having the parts alike or symmetrical. So looking at it from the standpoint of are they unequally yoked, I would venture to say yes, because there's no balance there. The willingness may be there on one individual's part and not there on the other. And I know that this is it seemed like it's a sensitive and fragile area, but at the end of the day, all of this boils down to the willingness of the individual. And you have to look at what is it that's joining you to that person that created the yoke in the first place? What is it that has me joined together with this person in ability and quality and ranking, what have you? What was the purpose of that all? I think these are the things that have to be looked at and examined along with or answering the question, equally yoked. Because if you don't have that understanding, then it can be argumentative all day long and very opinionated.
Okay.
You know,
so
and
the question from a caller that didn't want to be on the air, they said the socioeconomic statuses have anything to do with them being equally or unequally yoked. So say one
party. That as well.
Yeah.
One party.
You know, the education.
Does money and education play a part of being unequally yoked?
You know what? And that is another really great question because, again, you know, if I can go where I need to go here in Old Testament, there were some specific reasons why there were practices, profitable practices, that when, you know, wives were being chosen for husbands back then, and they were arranged marriages. And what happened is, in the case of Isaac, his father sent his cousin, you know, to go look for a wife, and sent him to look for a wife from a particular, you know, kindred who believed a certain way. There were some criteria that were met because of that word belief, but also because of, you know, the lifestyle. There were things that were the same. You know, and so the caller that's asking that question, that is a huge question, because you'll find that people who are raised in different types of environments, different socioeconomic statuses, you know, belief systems, locations sometimes, you know, will, you know, culture, it affects their ability to believe, you know, in that they sometimes are stuck and entrenched in a particular, you know, life style, if I could say it that way, or, you know, system, a team environment that they were, you know, involved in their growing up. And it will just be very difficult. And in counseling couples, I have found that over the years, and I'm not talking about, you know, a short amount of years, I'm talking about over the years, one of the most difficult things to get past for a lot of people is money issues. Women who make more money than their husbands and husbands who see that as being some type of issue because of the fact that they feel less than, you know, and that had to come from somewhere, you know, and that could have been in the 400 years of slavery and transitioning into, you know, who we were to become and taking our rightful place as kings and you know, in the kingdom, you know, that some things just did not transfer well in our belief system. You know, we did not apply all of the kingdom principles because of what we were taught from the pulpit to the door, you know. So we have to really be looking at that.
And I think if I can add to that as well, I think that right,
I'm getting a little bit of feedback. I'm sorry, B-Ray, I'm getting just a little bit of feedback. Okay.
I think the basis also of a lot of this that has to be considered and looked at is belief system. The basis of any relationship, whether it's a marriage, a business partnership, a friendship, is all based or is based a lot, I will say, on belief. I'm not going to say it's based solely. Some may be solely based on belief, but I would say most are based on belief system. People are going to connect with or be or gravitate to others that believe like they do. You go to the church that you go to because they believe the way that you believe. People join a certain political party because of the beliefs of that particular political party and those beliefs set with them. Again, when you talk about or look at the aspect of being equally or unequally yoked,
I gotta say this real quick, because right now we're living in a time where we're not getting married because of what people believe. We get married because of a look. She looked good to you, you look good to her, and then it end up working out, and then you end up getting married. It wasn't necessarily like you believe what I believe, and we're going to hook up and get married.
I said most. I didn't say all. So I wasn't relegating it to everybody, because you do have that sect of people out there that are – when you talk about marriage, they're hooking up and getting together based on the criteria that you just stated just now. But at some point,
by trade, you know, I operate as a business strategist. I do a lot of research and development, and I'm a data person. And one of the most interesting pieces of data has to do with why people are getting married now, as opposed to, and the fact that a lot of people are not getting married now, as opposed to why people have traditionally or over time have gotten married. And some of the new research with regards to marriage is, Brother Joe, it used to be what you're saying, right? It used to be the case. But what we are now finding is the statistics are showing us that millennials, number one, are not getting married at the rate that we got married. A lot of them are choosing not to be married. And, you know, for lots of different reasons, and I won't go down the rabbit trail.
Hello? Did we lose him? Hello?
I think we did.
Hello?
Yeah, I did. Maybe they're a call right now. Don't know what happened.
What a wonderful conversation we were having. We're going to give them a couple of minutes to call right back.
I think they're coming back. I think we're back now. Okay. Welcome
yes.
back.
Yes. Sorry about that.
I'm not sure what happened.
We lost.
Okay.
Yeah. But the statistics are showing us that even in the church, you know, our young people are not marrying, you know, at the rate that we were. And the ones that are marrying, they're marrying for different reasons. You know, we see, you know, my husband and I talk a lot about.
What are the reasons?
Well, convenience, finances. You know, it's not, you don't find a whole lot of young people marrying just saying, oh, well, I'm in love. I love them. They have, you know, we have some millennials that we birthed, okay, and hearing them talk about it is quite interesting. But what they're saying is matching the statistics, that they are counting the cost differently than we did. You know, I would say that in the church, it was not taught, you know, for us to marry for purpose. We were taught to marry for love, you know, and if you love him and he loves you, you guys get together and you can work it out. And God, whatever comes, God is going to bless you. And, you know, just put oil in his shoes when he start acting up and oil under his pillow and the Holy Spirit will speak to him and it'll be right. I mean, literally, a lot of us grew up in those types of environments.
But didn't it work? Didn't that work?
The statistics
I mean,
are showing us
it was.
It started off working, but something happened because baby boomers, which is what, you know, I'm in that baby boomer age, what has happened is that we are divorcing at a rate at 50% of our marriages are falling apart, and some of us are 25 and 30 years into this thing, you know, and it's like, why? Okay, so yeah, it started off working, but something didn't work somewhere. You know, whereas we're seeing that, you know, our Generation Xers who made some different choices, you know, to really wait and get married a little bit later, their marriages are lasting a little bit longer than what we have seen. Now, of course, the jury's still out because we don't have the years that we have to, you know, really equate it. But what we can say is this, in the information that is coming across from them, a lot of those marriages are marriages that these young people are saying, okay, you know, she didn't necessarily look the way I would have chosen someone to look, but our purposes fit. And that goes back to that equally yoked because their belief is what brought them together. Purposes are fitting, then their belief had to bring them together. And the decision to stay and grow together was an active decision. Now, one other piece of information I want to share, and then I'm going to relinquish myself, but the other piece of information I thought was interesting is that they committed to making sure the other one was growing. So if we're going to college, we're both going. You know, if that's what you want to do or whatever it is that your life's goal is, if this is what you believe God called you to, I'm going to support you in that. And I really believe that has a lot to do with belief system, because when you make decisions to sacrifice for the behalf of your spouse to see them grow into who God called them to be, then that is a different kind of belief than what I've traditionally seen, you know, come what we were raised with. You know, I mean, I've seen the opposite in some of our, you know, older people where it's like, no, well, she don't need all that. She don't need to go to college. You know, why is she waiting until she gets 50 years old to go to college? You know, it's not necessary. You know, so you see a lot of that old school type thing, and what happens is that you have one person who now believes that they, you know, they started off together, but now I want something better and I want us to move forward. And the other person is saying, well, we've done all that. We don't need that right now. Now, does that mean that we're now unequally yoked together in our unbelief, or in our belief, I should say? You know, what does that really mean? You know, so I just wanted to share those statistics because I think it's really important for us to kind of see the landscape that we're in kingdom, you know, and in the church. You know, and really evaluate, you know, what we're teaching and what it is that we need to be teaching to get people to have healthy marriages and healthy families.
Okay.
Wow.
Gotcha. Can you please give us your contact information, Pastor? Both of you, please. There's somebody that might want to reach you and they might have a question for you.
Sure. we can be reached at our website is pray247365.org. We have a global prayer ministry, and we're having prayer every day at noon, but we also have some training classes and things. But we, both my husband and I also are authors and speakers, and he can be, you can see his information at howardrosejr.com. And you can see mine at pastorpatience.org. We have weekly ministry. We don't charge for that. People can go and get the word every week online and gain access to any previous content that we have. My husband's a published author. He has 28 books that are available right now on Amazon. And, you know, so we have many materials that we have posted on our website, but we also send out things to people who are in need, and we coach. We're both certified to coach in different areas, in life coaching and in spiritual coaching and counseling. We're both ordained and licensed ministers and ordained pastors.
Pastor Howard, do you want to give us your information?
Sure. Again, like my wife said, you can go to my website at howardrosejr.com. I'm also out on Facebook and Instagram. You can search me by my name, Howard Rose Jr., as well as Twitter, for those of you who still do Twitter. And for email, you can just email me simply at info@howardrosejr.com.
And we thank you for coming on tonight and sharing your time with us.
Absolutely. It was our pleasure.
Okay. Again, this is Mind, Body, and Soul with Big Joe. No problem, B-Ray. I got you. This is Mind, Body, and Soul with Big Joe. I am your host, Big Joe. We have been joined with Pastor Howard Rose Jr. and Pastor Patient Rose. And we thank you so much again for your time. Will one of you please pray us out?
Sure. Father, we give you glory and honor and praise today, for this is truly another day that you made, and we will continue to rejoice and be glad in it. Father, as we bring this this radio show to a close this evening, we pray that someone's heart was touched and changed, that someone was brought closer to you. We thank you for the questions that were asked, and we pray even more so that the questions that were asked, whether they were answered or not, that you would bring forth an answer to them, because you want us to have an understanding of who we are in your kingdom and who you are in us, so that we can walk fully in your kingdom purpose, because that is what matters most.
Hallelujah.
According to Matthew 6 and 10, thy kingdom come and thy will be done in we your earthen vessels as it is in heaven. We thank you for Brother Joe and Be Ready and everyone that is a part of the Mind, Body, and Soul team and show. We pray that you would continue to cover them and give them wisdom. Cause them to come up with very provocative topics that address kingdom issues and bring about understanding to your people. In Jesus' mighty and matchless name, we have prayed. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you so much. B. Ray, play us out if you don't mind. Thank you again for joining us, Mind, Body, and Soul, with Big Joe. I am your host, Big Joe, right here on We Talk Radio. Tune in tomorrow. So it's going to be clear.
There was a family on their way down south, and they had gone as far as they could go, and they made their way, and they were driving on a dirt road,
storm came, the lightning started flashing. The young man that was driving the car lost control of the automobile, ran off the road, and everybody was all right except him. They got out of the car, and just across the dirt road was a white house. They took him across there to that white house and knocked on the door, and a white lady came to the door and said, "Can I help you?" They said, "Ma'am, if you just let us, our brother just got in an accident. We want to just come in and make a telephone call. We want to call the doctor." They walked in, and daughter got on the phone, and the phone kept ringing, and there was no answer. Finally, somebody picked up the phone and said, "I'm sorry, but the doctor's not here. He's out on his round." Somebody say yes here. Well, the daughter put that phone down and went back into the living room, and the little children, they were sitting there crying. They were all sitting there crying. And by that time, grandmama had got out of the car. She made her way across that dirt road, and she walked up to her and just opened up the screen door, and she peeped in and she said, "How's my son doing?" And they told her, said, "Mama, we tried to call the doctor, but he was out on his rounds." She said, "Child, let me come in." She walked in and she looked at that white lady. She said, "Ma'am, do you have a closet?" She said, "Ma'am, do you have a closet?" The white lady looked at her and said, "If you want to use the phone, you can use the phone." She said, "No, ma'am, I don't want to use the phone, but I want to call my doctor, and I need to go to your closet." Wait a minute. She made her way to that closet, and there was just enough room for her to get in there. She walked in that closet. The children were walking behind her. She walked in that closet, and she closed the door, and before she talked to the Lord, she said this. Grandmama came out that closet. And she made her way back to the living room. And everybody was just singing and praising the Lord. The children had gotten happy. The white lady had gotten happy. And while they were praising the Lord, there come a knock on the door. There was a knock on the door. They were just praising the Lord. Daughter ran to the door and said, "Who is it?" The man that was standing at the door said, "Listen, little girl, I'm the doctor. If you don't mind, I was just in these bars, and I needed a place to turn into. Would you mind if I come in?" He walked in that room. She just raised her voice and said this.
"There is God, God in." I said, "Y'all in my room." Oh, I did love my God. Yeah, I had it right God off my street. He killed me all my self in my room.
Let me hear you. Let me hear you say yes. Let me hear you say yes. If you're going to be a doctor, say yes. If you don't mind, help us sing one chord. Hey, there's joy. Come on, say it. Come on, everybody say it. Joy in the room. Jesus.
Yeah. Come on, set you
break every chain.
There's an arm.
Come on, everybody, open your mouth and worship the Lord. He's worthy of the glory. He deserves the praise today. Come on, everybody, all over the room, open your mouth and worship Him. Lift your hands and bless Him in this place. Your simple song. Everybody, open your mouth and worship the Lord. He's worthy of the glory. He deserves the praise today. Come on, everybody, all over the room, open your mouth and worship Him. Lift your hands and bless Him in this place.
Belongs to you, oh Lord,
on, y'all got it. Come on, say, my hallelujah. From the bottom of your heart, lift your voice. My hallelujah. Lord, my hallelujah. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Then we simply say, you deserve it. Real simple, say it, church. From the bottom of your heart, tell the Lord, you deserve it, Lord, yeah.
You deserve
all of the glory, yeah.
All of the glory,
everything I give you, Lord. Everything I owe you, Lord, it belongs to you.
All of the glory,
y'all got it now, come on, say it.
You thought I was Thanks for tuning in to We Talk Radio Network.